Everybody, if you just joined us by Facebook Live, welcome. For those of you in the room, welcome as well. Again, we are glad that everyone's here, including those joining us on our live broadcast. So with that being said, we just finished up a series. Anybody, please, somebody tell me what the name of the series was.
God's favor, your supernatural advantage.
Okay, Samuel gets the gold star. God's favor, your supernatural advantage. We spent 15 weeks on that. We will not spend 15 weeks on this topic, but we're going to talk about the power of the tongue. That's the name of the series, Power of the Tongue, because we know that the words we say create the world that we live in.
Yes.
And we teach this relatively often. Mm-hmm. The thing that happens, though, and I heard somebody say it this way a long time ago, and I like it, is that we leak. And what do we mean by that? Well, you know, you can teach somebody something. How many of you ever learned something back in college or high school or whatever? And if I asked you, like something I used to really be good in my career when I was fixing computers, big mainframes, was Boolean algebra. Does anybody in here know how to do Boolean algebra?
No.
You do? I'm impressed. I was really good at it. I couldn't even tell you what an equation looks like now. We forget. We leak. It just goes out. And so we teach on things, but sometimes we got to go back and hit on them, because what I've noticed in listening to y'all and myself is that we are not using our mouths correctly. I hear people talking about how, oh, this is wrong and that's wrong. We got this problem. And we don't deny problems. We all have problems. Even Jesus said, you know, in this world you will face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we know we will have challenges and problems, but we can either use our mouth to overcome them or be defeated by them. And, you know, if we don't go back and hit this periodically, then we end up getting back into bad habits. We're speaking death over our life instead of life over our life. And so that's why we're going back and hitting this topic. It's been a while. So the series title is Power of the Tongue. The title of today's message is Talk Like God Talks. Now, there was a time, oh gosh, it's been a few years ago. We'd moved into a house. We lived there a couple of years. This was just a few years ago. It's the house we live in now. It's about 3 a.m. in the morning, and the thunder starts, and the lightning starts, and, you know, it's Texas, right? And the rain starts, and all that's good with me, because I love sleeping when it's thundering and lightning and rain, and I just love sleeping like that. But then what else started?
Hail.
Yeah, the hail started. You know, I'm an insurance guy, right? You know that, right? And these five counties up here, you know, Dallas, Tarrant, Collin, Johnson, Denton, it's called the hail capital of the world, those five counties. We get more hail damage in a year than the rest of the country gets in 10 years. And so it started to hail. It's about 3 a.m. I'm not feeling good anyway. My body's got some symptoms in it. And I'm just like, I am not going to deal with a messed up roof. This is a new house, well, a couple years old, so a new house. And I'm not dealing with that. I went over, I pulled the blinds open, I looked at the sky, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, hell, you stop now. I shut the blinds, I turned around, and what happened? The hail stopped. I mean, it just stopped. And see, if I hadn't done that, my neighborhood would have kept those roofers busy for a long time. And so our words have power, not because they have power, but because there is something that has power. The name of Jesus. And he delegated and gave us the authority to use that name. And, you know, this is just one example. I'll give another one in a minute. But this is just one example of many, many times in my life when I have spoken in faith and seen it manifested in the natural realm. And the first time you do this, you are going to think, I am being so stupid. That preacher is nuts. And that's okay. I am kind of nuts. So it's all right then. So, you know, it sounds foolish. It looks foolish. It's not the way we're taught to do things. We're taught to worry. We're not taught to walk in victory. You know, that's how the world teaches us. Now, if I've been standing like most people, I'd be going, oh, dear God, here comes the hell. And like I said, we kept the roofers busy. And I remember when I first started to learn these principles. I was in my early 20s. And I had great men and women of God that were teaching me these things. And I'll go ahead and talk about this little book right now. And I just talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But we have different books. You know, Pastor Anise likes the one by Marilyn Hickey. I like the one by Charles Capps. And in the front of this book, you know, I'm going to take probably the next 6 weeks talking about the tongue. He does it in about 15 pages, probably better than I'm going to do it over the next 6 weeks. But him and a whole lot of other guys taught me how to talk, how to use the Word of God, not for something for me, but just to be able to manifest the Word of God in this natural world. And so I told you a couple of weeks ago when we were finishing up the other series that to use this book is not some kind of religious duty. It is just a teaching tool. I've had people say, well, you know, I read that book for 3 days and nothing happened. Well, I've memorized this book over about the last 30 years. And it's not so much this book as it is the teaching and as it is personalizing Scripture. Getting Scripture, getting the Word of God inside you so that when things happen, the Word of God comes out of you. Because our natural instinct, the natural way we are taught to talk, is negative. Caesar, you ever say anything negative?
Yes.
Stop it. But that's the way we're taught to. I mean, what do we say? Something happens and you just say, oh, that scared me to death. I laughed so hard I thought I'd. Everything that we're taught from the world standpoint is negative. And so what we got to do is retrain our brain to speak what we want, not what we have.
Amen.
And then, I mean, okay, but you say, well, I don't know about all that. Okay, do you want, I laughed so hard I thought I'd, do you really want to die?
No.
Then why do you say that? Should be, I laughed so hard I thought I was going to live forever. You know, so you learn, these are just tools. You know, we have them in the bookstore. They're just tools to say, you know, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, Lord. Your word and your spirit, they comfort me. No weapon formed against me prospers. Why not? For my righteousness is of the Lord. But whatever I do prospers like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. No evil will fall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. And you just keep going and going. And it takes about 10 minutes to go through these. And it's not that this is some religious duty. It is just a teaching tool to get to teach you how to take Scripture and personalize it into your life. So when a tragedy happens, that's what comes out of you. And so, you know, it's a, speaking the Word of God is the most important thing you can do. So when you start learning how to do that and you start, you know, most people are going to say, you know, whatever they say and they're going to make fun of you or do whatever they're going to do. And one time when I first started learning this, I don't know that I'd ever actually done it. And this was before cell phones. Yes, I'm that old. This was before cell phones. No cell phones. I'm out at a customer account. I just done some repairs on some equipment. Again, I'm in my early 20s. And I go out to my car, and it does nothing. You know, anybody heard that click, click, click noise?
Oh, yeah,
well, that's what I got. And so, you know, it's not like you can pick up the cell phone and call. So I thought, well, I'm going to do what those guys have been teaching me in church. So I got out of my car. I walked around the front of it. I opened the hood, I pointed at that battery, and I said, you start in Jesus' name. Put the hood down, got in the car, cranked it up, drove away. Now we use wisdom. Where did I drive to? To the shop. That's exactly where I drove to. You know, God gives us wisdom. You know, He had grace. Car started just like it was supposed to, but you're not going to live on that. It's not like I'm going to live with a dead battery and every time I get out there and say, in Jesus' name, start. That ain't going to work. And so, but when I got to the shop, the guy looked at it and he said, well, there's a ruptured cell inside this battery. He said, there is no way this car started without a jump. And I said, you're exactly right. It had a Holy Spirit jump. And so I started down this path of learning to use words to control my future, to be able to live out a life that I would want to live. And it changed my life. And there was one time just a few years ago, I had three ladies work in my office. Some of you will remember Amanda, and because she used to go to church here. So Amanda was there, Alma was there, Lori was there. So two of them are still here. And so we're all in the office, and this horrible storm's coming over. And the way our building sits is my office faces east. And then there's an empty lot and a strip shopping center. And so this thing is coming. I mean, the sirens are going off, the lightning, it is crazy. Wind, everything's blowing everywhere. And the girls are nervous, so I looked at them and I said, hey, go downstairs and get in the center of the building, in the women's bathroom in the center of the building. I just stayed in the office. I pulled my blinds open because with a storm like that, you're in the insurance business. What's going to happen? People are going to need you. All right? So I looked at the sky and I said, in the name of Jesus, this building will suffer no harm. This building will not lose power. I'm going to have customers that are going to need me. So in Jesus' name, storm, you will not affect anything. You go. And Randy doesn't live very far from my office, and he says I sent it to his house to cause all the damage. He wasn't home. I mean, you know, he was at work, so, you know, he's on his own. But the point is, when it went over my building, it hit that strip center. It was the craziest thing. You know how a strip center is? It's flat. Yeah. It was a one-story strip center. And it's flat on top. It rolled the roof. And then, I mean, you could almost just see it going across. It hit our parking lot. It went across the empty lot. It hit that strip center. It rolled the roof. And then it hit the telephone poles next to it that had transformers on them. And they blew up and sparks went everywhere. Our lights never flickered. Our lights never went off. We were there to serve our customers. And all, you know, the ladies in the office, they went home at their whatever time they went home. And I stayed there and kept answering the phone for claims until about 8:30 or 9 that night. And, you know, and getting our customers okay. And I didn't realize what happened. When I left there, I hadn't been outside all day. I've been working. When I left there and I drove out of the building and I drove and I looked, there was not a light anywhere. The stoplights were dark. I mean, it wasn't blinking. Everything was dark. Obviously, that strip center was dark. The building across the street was dark. The apartments were dark. The only thing was lit up was the building I was in. And that was it. I mean, it was eerie. Because, I mean, literally everything. Am I telling the truth? I mean, it was eerie. It was just, we were the only thing with lights. And so, many times, when you step back from a crisis and you speak God's word over it, people will point at you, they'll make fun of you, they'll say you're crazy, they'll ask you, who do you think you are, God? Well, of course you're not God, but you are a son of God, a daughter of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And the worst people that'll mock you will be church people. That's just the way it is. But God tells us in his word, in the Old Testament, in Genesis, he says what? You've been created in my image and my likeness. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, the things that I do, shall you do also, right? All right, pull out your insert. If you don't have a bulletin, raise your hand. Let them get you an insert because you're going to want one, need one. Lots of notes this morning. And so let's get one to you. I want you to follow along. Page one, number one of your insert. Jesus understood the power of his words. He spoke to a fig tree, it obeyed him. He spoke to a storm, it obeyed him. He spoke to a man that had been dead for 4 days and stunk, and it obeyed him. So when my car wouldn't start, it was time for me to speak, and I did. This was not a coincidence. The word worked just like God said it would, and it'll work for whoever believes and speaks. Now, I didn't start out my Christian walk with this kind of faith in doing this. I learned it, as I said, through the Word of God, some teaching by great men and women of God, and through experience of just doing it. So, does everything you say always come to pass? No. But, you know, we say a lot of things, right? And you know, David may not be feeling good, and I pray for him, I pray for him. And that's great. Hopefully, in Jesus' name, will be healed. But maybe not. You know, I mean, and it's not because Jesus isn't willing. It's just because sometimes our faith doesn't line up. There's things in our minds, whatever it is. So everything I ever ask for doesn't come to pass, obviously. But there are times when in your spirit. So, you know, like that first time I ever tried it on my car. Does God really care about a battery? Well, he cares about me. But I needed him to show me it was real and not just what those preachers were saying on Sunday. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so it was by grace that happened. So, but there are times when it just rises up inside of you and you know you are supposed to speak the command. You know, you don't pray. You know, a lot of times he did pray, but a lot of times Jesus did not pray. He just spoke. And if we're supposed to imitate him, there are just times in our lives where if you'll be sensitive to the Spirit of God, that anointing will just rise up inside of you, that unction will rise up inside of you, and you'll know, instead of praying for David, I just look at him and say, in Jesus' name, be healed.
Amen.
Now, that's different than praying the prayer of agreement with him. And so there are times when you just know, and you speak the word. And the thing you've got to understand is every time you say something, is it going to happen? Of course not. But every time you say something, you are releasing power, either positive or negative. So we always speak the word. I have no idea where I was on that. Anyway, I'm going to start here. So as a Christian walk like this, I learned it. But as I studied God's word and I saw how he watched over his word to perform it, then my faith started to grow. And as my faith grew, my confidence grew in speaking the word over any situation in my life. I've learned to live by the word of God, to practice aligning my speech with the word. And the Bible is very clear on this subject, and it contains such wisdom and power when it talks about the tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, love what? Well, using the tongue. They're going to eat the fruit of it. What's the fruit? Death or life. So in the New Living, it says it this way. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences, either death or life. And so since you spend every waking moment trying to live, your tongue needs to line up with the life God has designed for you. And this means you must learn to speak the promise, not the problem.
Amen.
Now, this is in your notes. You need to circle that or something. And say this after me. Pastor, I'm going to learn how to speak the promise, not the problem. See, understand the power of words is the key to your destiny. Proverbs 18:20 says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. All increase comes by the tongue. So does all defeat. By the words you speak. Words can... So you say, well, Rocky, if all increase comes by the tongue, have you ever had somebody die around you that was lost?
Yes.
It is a very sad experience.
Yes.
Because what's coming out of their mouth the whole time until they take their last breath?
Negative,
negative, negative, negative, negative. Have you ever been around somebody that was strong in their faith until they took their last breath? What's coming out of their mouth? Positive. I'm going home. I'm going to see Jesus. And so when they go, what happens? It is a positive experience. They still win. You got to understand, when we lose, we win. Because the worst thing that can happen is the best thing that could happen, and you go home to be with Jesus.
Yes.
You know, people get all hung up about death. Why? It's just the next step in our life. You know, death is not the end for us. Death is not the end for those who are not saved either. But you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go there. You don't want that experience because it's eternal, and you don't want that. You want to go home. Say home. That's where you want to go. And so it doesn't matter what happens. It you win by the power of your tongue. And sometimes life situations can be a result of something somebody said over you and you received it. For example, someone says, oh man, you're just like your father with that bad temper. And later you get angry and you try to excuse the way you act by saying, well, you know, they always said I had a temper just like my father. So when they I want to have a temper just like my father. I want to have a mindset just like my father. I want to have wisdom just like my father. I want to have victory just like my father. So when they say this and you repeat it, you're confirming a negative word over your life. And thank God this spiritual law also works on the positive side too. Therefore, words are the key to making life work. Proverbs 13, 2 and 3 describes it well. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, I like the way the Living Bible is not a translation. It's actually a paraphrase of the King James. But I like the paraphrased version of this. Put that up on the screen. Same verses, Proverbs 13, 2 and 3. The good man wins his case by careful argument. The evil-minded only wants to fight. Self-control means controlling the tongue. A quick retort can ruin everything. Anybody ever been there? So without a doubt, your words are connected to your life. Proverbs 10:11 makes the point very well. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. So in the Hebrew word there, put that back up if you've taken it down already. Leave that up for a second. Where it says the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. That word well right there in the Hebrew actually means source. And I like that better. The mouth of the righteous is a source of life. And who are the righteous? How do you know that? How do you know you're righteous? Because you have become the righteousness of God in or through Jesus Christ. So he's talking about you. The connection between your words and your life is abundantly clear in this passage. The problem is that most people haven't truly acknowledged the connection between what they say, what they have, and what they experience in life. And that's because the revelation of this connection was lost at the fall of man. But Jesus came to bring us back to this knowledge as part of our salvation experience. 2 Samuel 23:2 says, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are upon my tongue. Number three in your insert, God has invested a lot in your mouth. He put the power of life and death in the tongue, in your speech. Notice Proverbs 18:21, which we already read a minute ago, does not say death and life are in the power of God. That's not what it says. It says life and death are what? In the power of your tongue. We know God's power is the ultimate power. He entrusted you with the ability to exert power through speech. So you can speak life to your life, you can speak life to your solution, or you can speak death to it. Your words can take you over, or your words can put you under. Page 2, number 1. Simply put, you can change your future by changing your words. I know this, I did this, I changed. When I learned this, I'd always been taught negative, I'd always been called slow and stupid, I'd always been in a negative environment. Words that came out of my mouth were not positive. And when I learned this and I changed my speech, my world changed. Yes. Learn to talk. Learn to talk right. Yes. Learn to speak God's word. Amen. Otherwise, just shut up. Well, shut up's not a nice word. Well, actually, no, it's not a nice word. It's two words. You can change your future by changing your words. You have the ability to do this because you are a child of God. In Romans 8:16 and 17 and Galatians 4:7, Christians are referred to as sons and joint heirs. God as your father set the standard as to how his sons and daughters are to live. Number two on page two, Genesis 1:1-3. We know this very well. Actually, we read it in Sunday school, parts of it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So what was the Spirit of God doing?
Hovering.
Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And you'll notice that although the Holy Spirit was moving upon the face of the water, nothing was happening. God was God. The Holy Spirit was the Holy Spirit. Yet nothing happened until God released the Word. For God to repair the earth, to restart the restoration of the earth, He spoke to it. He used words to create the universe. And then once God spoke to the earth, the Holy Spirit went to work. When did the Holy Spirit go to work? Once God spoke. The Holy Spirit's job is to manifest whatever the Word says. And who's the Word?
Jesus.
All right, we're going to read that scripture here in a little bit. In fact, I'm going to go pick it up right now. It's actually at the end of this message. If I can find it real quick, because I'll read it again when I get back here. So God created everything in John 1:1, again, I'm going to read this when we get here so it's in context. But in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 3, and we'll get back to this in a minute, you'll see on the screen. God created everything through Him. Through who's the Him?
Jesus.
And nothing was created except through Him. Okay, stay with me. Nothing happened until the Word spoke. Who's the Word?
Jesus.
And once the Word spoke, then what happened? Well, yeah, but how did it come to pass? Yeah. Who did it? The Holy Spirit. Okay. So you had God the Father through Jesus, Jesus is the Word, said, "Let there be light," or "light be," and light was. Then the Holy Spirit moved. So when you're born again, who do you accept?
Jesus.
Jesus. Who's your Lord?
Jesus.
Who do you pray to? Jesus. Who is it that in? Who is it that infills you? The Holy Spirit. Whose words do you speak to give power out of you? You speak the words of God. And the Word is who? Jesus. So you speak the words of Jesus, because nothing was created that was not created through Him. So once you speak, you're a joint heir. You're a son or daughter of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So once you take His words, who lives inside of you? Once you take His words and you speak them, it's the same as who's speaking them.
Jesus.
As long as it's whose words?
God.
His words, not your words.
Yeah.
So as long as you speak His word, it's His word. Who's inside of you? The Holy Spirit. So what happened? Holy Spirit's there. The water's there. Nothing happens until what happens? The Word speaks. So once Jesus speaks, things happen.
Yes.
Once you speak in His name, as His delegated authority, as a joint heir with Him, once you speak in His name, things happen.
Yes.
So it was dark, right?
Yes.
Holy Spirit's over the face of the dark. It's dark. Now, the dark needs to disappear. So did God talk to the dark?
No.
Genesis 1:3 says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." Now, the actual Hebrew does say, He said, "Light be," and light was. God actually spoke directly to the thing He wanted to manifest. He commanded it to come forth, and it obeyed Him. God did not spend any time talking about the dark that was there. He did not deal with the darkness. He used His authority to deal only with light and the things He wanted. And once it appeared, God continued saying, and everything that He said came to pass. Finally, in Genesis 1:26, He says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." We'll get there in a minute. This is something we want to do. We have a problem. What's the first thing we want to do? Yeah, we want to call whoever we can call and tell all about the problem. Somebody says, how you doing? You want to tell them all about the problem.
Yes.
Somebody, something's not working right in your life, you want to tell them all about the problem. God never once mentions the problem. He didn't care about the problem. All he cared about was the solution. So what did he speak? The solution, not the problem. Did he have to even talk to the problem? And we do that, and that's okay. Jesus did that sometimes. But we're trying to get a pattern or example. Did he talk to the problem? He said, darkness, I command you to go. No, he didn't even talk to the darkness. He didn't mention the darkness. The darkness was obvious. He spoke only what he wanted and expected, which was light.
Yes.
Sometimes you need to quit thinking about the problem and only focus on the solution.
Yes.
And shut your mouth the rest of the time.
Amen.
I'm talking to me too. Don't think I'm getting on to you. I'm talking to me too. Number three in your insert. So how does God operate? What is his mode of operation? He spoke things into existence. He changed and rearranged the earth as well as natural things with words. And this is confirmed in Hebrews 11:3, which says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed by God's command. And what we now see, what do we see? Stuff, right? What we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Now, wait a minute. When God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are doing their thing, is there anything yet?
No.
There's nothingness. So they created out of the spirit realm the visible realm. Does that make sense? I don't want to lose anybody because it's important. So it says the entire universe was formed by God's command. His what? Did God pray about it?
No.
He gave what?
A command.
All right? So by his command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And so that means that the material realm you see on earth is a product of the spiritual realm. Therefore, the earth is a copy of something that is in the spiritual realm. The physical image you see of yourself when you look in the mirror is not the real you. It's just your body. It's just your shell. It's just your earth suit. If the real you, which is your spirit, left your body would not continue to live. The only way material things exist is when they have a spiritual component. You lose the spiritual component, you die. So everything you see was made from something you cannot see with the natural eye. God followed this principle when he made the universe and when he made mankind. He not only made the worlds by something you cannot see, he also sustains the world by something you cannot see. Hebrews 1:1-3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. How many things? And through whom he made the universe. Okay, that goes right back to the other thing we were talking about, the Word, right? How did God make the universe? Through Jesus. Through whom he made the universe. Verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful Word. Say sustaining. I said just a second ago that nothing exists that doesn't have a spiritual component. God said, light be, and light was. But how does he sustain the universe? What holds, you know, you read all these things by scientists, what holds the universe together? Yeah, but what holds the universe together? Spit? Well, maybe spit. Maybe it's God's spit, I guess. So what holds the universe together?
His Word.
And who's His Word?
Jesus.
Okay, put that scripture back on the screen. I want to just spend a minute on it. The sun is the radiance of... Nope, go back. You were good. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things. Now go back to the last scripture in verses 1 and 2. Let's put it in context. Verse 2. But in these last days he has spoken to us, as whom is appointed of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Next verse, verse 3. Through whom God made the universe. See, the sun is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. He sustains all things by his powerful word. Who sustains the universe? Jesus. The Word created the world, and the Word sustains the world. Having established this method of operation, God made man to operate like him, and he turned the earth over to man to have dominion over it. Say dominion.
Dominion.
That's going to be an important word in a little bit. In Genesis 1:26, we read a little bit of it. I'm going to read the whole verse. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion." Say dominion.
Dominion.
"Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Page 3, number 1. In order for you to exercise that dominion, what dominion? Let them have dominion over the earth. In order for you to exercise that dominion, God gave you the ability to speak words. And he did this because words have authority.
Amen.
And since you're made in his image, it follows that you should talk like God talks. If you say what God says, it'll come to pass. And if you say nothing, you get nothing. And if you say the wrong thing, you get the wrong thing. And I love it. I don't love it. I hate it. But it's funny, and I don't mean ha-ha. It's just amusing, but not in a funny way. You'll understand. You teach like this, and we'll get through 4 or 5 weeks of this. I'm not going to go past 6 probably. But we'll get through a few weeks of this, and somebody here, somebody visiting, or somebody over the internet will send me a thing and said, "I've tried this the last 3 weeks. Nothing's changed. It doesn't work. You're such a fool." Something like that. Now, what did they just say? It doesn't work.
So guess
what? So is it working?
No,
it is working. It is exactly working. They're getting exactly what they're saying. Negative things in their life, and it's not working. And so I don't ever reply back to those emails. So if you email, I'm not replying. I hit purge. See, I have on my email, I have 2 things. I have delete and I have purge. Delete means it goes in the trash, so I could actually go back and get it if I needed to. Purge means it's gone. It evaporated. I can't ever see it again. So you send me an email that's like that, I hit purge. I don't have time to deal with you. Not that I don't love you, but, you know, I got a job to do, too. Not this job. I mean, a real job. Not that this is not a real job, but another job. All right. So my point being, you're going to get what you say. And if all you're talking about has doesn't work, he's an idiot, da-da-da-da-da, well, you're getting exactly that. I don't know. It's one of the women teachers, Marilyn Hickey or Joyce Myers or one of them, says, you know, sometimes you need to put a rubber band around your forehead and snap it. That's what those people need to do. They just need to put a rubber band around there and snap it. So too often people approach life as if they just decide how they want it to operate. It doesn't work that way. You need to follow the instructions to know how to live victoriously. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." Genesis chapter 1 contains the outline of how God operated during the creation process and the pattern to follow. He then gave mankind, men and women, authority to rule over everything that he made on the earth. God, therefore, was making mankind to be like him. The way we're born again confirms that legacy. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God." So my question to you is, are you living as if you believe this? Are you living as if you are truly an eternal being? Are you living like this is it? If we truly believe we were eternal beings, and that this was just a stage of that eternity, might we not live differently than, you know, the philosophy that says, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, anytime I want to do it? And still, some of us still do that. And, you know, sometimes we pay the price for that. And, you know, because we're what?
Human.
And we do make mistakes. My point is, I don't think we truly live with the mindset that we are eternal beings. I just don't think so. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you have God, you have the Word. And if you have the Word, you have God. And if you were born by the Word, you must have been born by God. We learn from Genesis 1:11-12 that every seed produces after what?
Its own kind.
Therefore, you were born in God's class. Actually, you were born when, not you, but when man was made, when Adam was made, where it says, made in our image and our likeness, the literal Hebrew right there says, you were made an exact duplication of the God kind. And Pastor Cleopatra did a great job in Sunday school this morning explaining that, why God wanted to make a being in his class. So if you weren't in Sunday school, you know, I'm not going back and reteaching that. You just missed it. Be in Sunday school. That's the solution. So as he began to operate in the earth, he began to pattern himself, man did, after the Father. Jesus did. You know, so Jesus is actually what I would call the sample son. So he gets on earth, he starts operating like the Father, and he said in John 5:19, I do nothing except as I see my Father do it. In other words, he's learning it directly from the Father. The Father was teaching him how to act, how to act like him. Now, what does the Father do? Jesus is learning to act like the Father, right? What does the Father do? In Romans 4:17, the Father calls things that be not as though they were. That's what the Father does. So through Jesus' ministry, you see him do that. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Was there light? Was God going, whoo, it's dark out there? I mean, it's documented that it was dark. But you never find God worrying about it. But when God, literally in the Hebrew, it says light be. Now think about it. It's dark. What's God doing? He's calling for light. He's calling the thing that is not as though it were. Because darkness is what's there. So he says, light be, light was. So he's calling something that is not as though that's the way it is. And what happened? It became that way. Right? So Jesus is learning to operate like the Father. And we're told in Romans 4:17 that the Father calls those things that be not as though they were. So when he saw darkness, he called it light. And you notice he didn't call for light. He called it light. And you can follow that pattern if you change the way you see yourself. The right image on the inside of you will help you think right and therefore speak right. And the Holy Spirit can teach you and give you the right image of yourself. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. 1 Corinthians 2:12-13 says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, which is I laughed so hard I thought I'd die, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. How do you express spiritual truths? in spiritual words. What are spiritual words? The word of Jesus, the God's word. So God does not trust you to be taught by flesh in this area, because flesh does not know the whole story from God's point of view, but the Holy Spirit does know. And he knows who you are, and he knows how you are supposed to act, given the personality that he gave you. And he gave us all a different personality. God's design for this is found in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 28. And I read this not too long ago in our other series, but it fit here, so I wanted to throw it back in. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. He called the things he called to nullify. And the things that are not to nullify the things that are. He's going right back to it's dark. Because if I'm going to nullify the thing that is with a thing that's not, what is not? Not is it's not this way. Stay with me here. I've got an is, because I'm going to nullify through the Word of God what is with what is not. Now, how do I get what is not to what is? I speak the Word of God as it was so. Now, I'm not denying the cancer. I'm not denying that the pain. I'm not denying any of that. I'm not denying that it's real. But I'm going to speak to that cancer, and through health, I'm going to speak what I want, not what I have. I'm not going to talk about how bad the cancer is. Now, I mean, you got to talk to the doctor, and you got to communicate things. We're not saying any of that. What I'm saying, though, is we're taught to call things that are not as though they were. We're taught to imitate the Father. We're taught to act like God, just like children act like their parents. Amen. Don't ever make the mistake and think you're God. You ain't God. But you are a child of God, joined here with Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit in with you, and you have the ability, if you decide to renew your mind, to take the Word of God. Let me borrow your Bible. To take the Word of God. Oh, I love this. It's worn. To take the Word of God. To take the Word of God. Put it in your heart. Have it come out of your mouth. And once it comes out of your mouth, what then can the Holy Spirit do? Act on it. Enforce it. Bring it to being. Am I making any sense to anybody? I hope so. So God has given you these promises so that when you have a problem in your life, you don't need to go and tell everybody, listen, tell everybody about the problem and how bad it is. What you do is you look in the Bible and you find life. You find a promise in the Word of God that deals with your situation. You focus on the desired result that is waiting in the unseen realm. Because what did we learn a minute ago out of the Bible? That the things in this realm come from where? The unseen realm. So your answer to that prayer, your answer to that command is in the unseen realm, and God's going to move it to the seen realm. So focus on the desired result, the one that is waiting for you in the unseen realm. And this will. This is why it's so important to develop your spirit man. Because your spirit man can see into the unseen realm. It can communicate and touch the unseen realm. Before you get born again, your spirit man is dead. Adam killed our spirits off. Boom. All right? When he and Eve sinned, spiritually we died. So that's done. Now Jesus comes, and we are now able to restore our spirits back to God. So that we have a direct communication to the Father. And the Bible tells us what? To go boldly into the throne room of grace. So find a promise in the Word of God. Find the desired result in the unseen. Know that it is there. Know that God is capable. Know that the Holy Spirit is capable of taking. Did light exist? It existed in the unseen realm. It existed in the spirit realm. So what did God have to do? Get it from the spirit realm, His realm, to our realm. And how did He do that? He commanded it. Light be. Boom. It was. And so, which is exactly why I have no problem with the Big Bang Theory. Y'all have heard me say this before. You know, people say, well, it was a Big Bang. Yes, it was. God said, light be, and boom, light was. It came out of nothing. And it has not stopped. Because when God speaks, it doesn't stop. And the universe is expanding. Scientists tell us that it's some incredible amount. Why? Because that word has never stopped. It just keeps creating. And that's what God does. So when somebody says, you know, they're talking to you and you're like, I'm a Christian. They're like, oh, I just believe in the Big Bang. Well, I do too. And they'll look at you like, what? And then explain it to them. Find a promise in the Word of God. Find a promise that deals with your situation. Focus on the desired result. And this will cause the problem that is to become the problem that was. And it doesn't matter how bad the condition is. It was bad when God spoke to the earth. But what was bad became good when God's word went forth. And you may say, well, of course God can do that, but I'm just a human being. You're not just a human being. You are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. And God has given you His word. His word has the same power today that it had when He first spoke it. It has not lost 1 ounce of power. It has not lost any power. What it did 6,000 years ago, it will do today. Amen. So all you have to do is take His word, put it in your heart, and let it come out of your mouth, and the word will bring your problem to nothing. Now, why did I say that? Your problem to nothing. Because that's what God does. When he replaced dark with light, the problem went to nothing. That problem didn't exist anymore. And I'm not talking about the sun. I'm not talking about nighttime. When we talk about the earth was dark, there were no stars. There was no nothing. It was just nothingness. Just a blob of earth covered in water. And, you know, we don't have time to go back through the recreation and the first. And we don't have time to do that. We spent a whole Sunday school for 6 months on that, or however long that took to get through. So we've already done that. So, if you miss Sunday school, you don't know what I'm talking about. So the point is, God had to deal with what was. And the way He dealt with what was to replace it with what He wanted. And He didn't replace it with, and He replaced it with what He wanted by speaking what He wanted. I mean, that's the bottom line. So today, God's people are keeping quiet and are saying the wrong things. So for this to succeed, you need to speak God's word, not your words, His word. And you may wonder, well, is the Holy Spirit still doing what God used to? Yeah, the answer, of course, is yes. 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is what? So, who lives in who? And was given to you by who? Okay, so God, you accept Jesus, God reconnects your spirit to His spirit. So once your spirit's reconnected to His spirit, now He is free to give you the Holy Spirit. So now you have the Holy Spirit, and you've got Father God, and you've got the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is your Lord. You've got the Word, and when you speak the Word, you're speaking the Word of God. You're speaking the words of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can move and do something in your life and in your situation. It is not complicated. Mark 11:13-14. Seeing in the distance a fig tree. This is just an example of how Jesus did this. Now, He must have been really ticked at this tree. He must have been really hungry or something. Because it wasn't even the tree's fault. But He didn't like the result. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, meaning it had leaves on it, right? He went to find out if it had any fruit. When He reached it, He found nothing but leaves. Why? Because it was not the season for figs. It wasn't even fig season. And He didn't like that answer. So what does He say? He said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And His disciples heard it. Now, let's move on to the next morning in Mark 11:20-23. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree all dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, that's not what the literal Greek says right there. The Greek says, have the faith of God. Now, Mark, and now we're hitting verse 23, so go ahead and put that on the screen. I'm on number 2 or whatever page I'm on your insert. Page 4, thank you. So, Mark 11:23, let's pick it up right there. So he says, have faith of God, or have the faith of God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says, to this mountain, this problem, this circumstance, this situation, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his what?
Heart.
What's the heart? When the Bible talks about the heart, generally, what's it talking about?
Spirit
and the soul. So the spirit is your spirit man. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So, for assuredly, I say unto you, whoever says to this problem, this mountain, this situation, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his soul and spirit, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Natural things or physical things that are dominated or controlled by the more powerful things of the Spirit. Therefore, your words are more than noise. Coming out of a believer's heart, your words are spirit. They are designed to do things. They are designed to have authority in the earth. So when you invoke this authority, God can act on it. So Mark 11:23 again, if you have it handy, put it back on the screen. If you have the 23rd verse, you can put it back up there for a second, but if not, that's fine. The word says is mentioned 3 times. Y'all know that. I've taught you this. The word believed is mentioned how many times?
Once.
And this suggests that it's easier to believe than it is to say. Why? Because we're not taught and trained to talk to our problem. We're trained to talk about our problem. God says what he wants to manifest. So look how he spoke to Gideon. We've talked about Gideon not too long ago, but again, this is just a great way that God does this, calling things that be not as though they were. In Judges 6:12-16. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? There are all these wondrous things our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. So at the time of this visitation, Gideon looked like anything but a brave and mighty warrior. In fact, his conversation and his behavior were the exact opposite of what God was saying he was. God did not see Gideon the way Gideon saw Gideon. Remember Abraham? He's Abram. God changes his name to Abraham. And he says, you'll become the father of many nations. Look at the stars. Look at the sand, right? But was Abraham's faith at that point, when he made that name change, was Abraham's faith at a point where he could receive the answer? But God had to call something that was not as though it were. So God had to call him father of many nations. And if you say something often enough, it's like this old saying, if you tell a lie often enough, you begin to what? Believe it, right? So if you hear, and in those days, names meant something. So every time Abraham heard Abraham, he heard father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations. Until his faith got to a point where he could receive the promise of God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and then he never wavered, and he received God's promise. It took time, because God had to change his thinking. God had to change what he believed about himself, that I'll never have kids. It's the same way with Gideon. You know, God says, you're a man of valor. You're a man of war. And Gideon's like, I'm nothing but a afraid little man that's hiding out here trying to get some grain, you know? Now, that's how Gideon saw himself today. But as this kept being reinforced and reinforced and reinforced, what happened to Gideon over time? Okay, so I pulled out that little white book earlier about confessions, right? All those confessions are personalized. Why is that important? Because we all have deep-seated things inside of us that are negative. Our parents put them there. Our teachers put them there. Our people have hurt us. People have done this. People have disappointed people, whatever. And so these things get inside of us. How do you get them out? With the Word of God. But how do you do that? You start confessing the Word of God. You act like God. How did God change Abraham's heart? By having confession over him. Every time somebody said, what's your name? He said, Abraham, father of many nations. They're looking at him like, you ain't the father of nothing. And it didn't matter, because as you say the Word of God and personalize it about you, you start picking out those little things. And really, and you got this huge thing that's inside of you, this negative, this resentment, this whatever, and you start picking it out. And you are, you know, you are this, you are that, the Word of God says. And all of a sudden you realize, I don't think that way anymore. I am free. I am free. I am a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm above and I'm not beneath. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. And you get this, you get this thing inside of you and about you where you're just like, I ain't taking it no more. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And you just get this thing about you that's like, so God had to deal with Gideon. And of course, Gideon finally got there, but it took time. Say time. I want you to understand, and you know this, that God has a destiny. We taught on destiny last year. God has a destiny for your life. And he's going to call you what he wants you to be. The problem or the situation is, are you going to accept it? Are you going to accept what God calls you? Are you going to accept what you call yourself or what people have called you? It is important for you to line up your confession with how God sees you. Otherwise, you are actually disagreeing with God. When God spoke about who Gideon was, he spoke out of faith. God is a faith God. And when we get born again, the Bible says that we receive the faith of God so that we can operate like God. And therefore, this is how we are to live. Romans 1:17 tells us the just shall live by faith. God was not walking by what he saw. He was walking by what he wanted and desired in his heart. He clearly wants us to operate as he does, because he made us in his image. He made us in his likeness. He made us an exact duplication of his kind. He created man just like himself. And you must decide in your mind to believe this and not back down from it. Because sometimes religion will paint a completely different picture. You're nothing. You're nothing but an old worm saved by grace. Well, I may have been an old worm, but now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Mankind has a long, sad history of unbelief. In the Bible, by the time you get to Isaiah, you know, man has gone a long way from after the fall of Adam. Isaiah 55:8-9. God's like, oh my goodness, people, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Drop down to verse 11 and it says, so shall my words be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the things which I send it. Number 3, once you release God's word, it will prosper. The word will prosper. Not you, but the word will prosper. Now, you may be prospering because of the word, but it is the word that prospers, not you. Your word is worth nothing to me. God's word is worth everything to me. And so, but you have to first get his word in your mouth and speak it from a believing heart, and then his word will come to pass. And you say, but Rocky, I got all these issues and problems, and oh my goodness, what do I do? How do I do this? You just start confessing the word and confessing the word and confessing the word. And I don't want to do this anymore. And I don't want to do it this morning. And I don't want to do it tonight. And I don't like it. It just gets old. Just do it and do it and do it. And then one day you'll realize, I don't think that way anymore. I don't feel about that person the way I used to feel about that person. I don't feel about that situation the way I used to. I don't think about them the way I used to. I don't hold that grudge. I don't have that deep-seated anger. I don't have that disappointment. Why? Because I filled myself up with the Word of God, and the Word of God will drive all of that out of you. John 1:1, we read it a minute ago. In the beginning was the Word. I'm going to read out of the New Living. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3, God created everything through Him, through Jesus, and nothing was created except through Jesus, through Him. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Another translation says this, the Word took upon Himself flesh. Number 4, so anytime you have the Word, you have God, and anytime you have God, you have the Word. And is there anything too hard for God?
No.
Is there anything too hard for the Word?
No.
With God, all things are what? So if all things are possible with God, then all things are possible with His Word. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
When God's Word comes forth out of your mouth from a believing heart, and understand, you start this today, you're probably not going to believe it. But you do this long enough. You confess the Word long enough. It's like telling that lie a million times. All of a sudden, you don't know the difference anymore. You believe it. Well, this isn't a lie. This is the truth. So you start speaking truth out of yourself and truth and truth, and all of a sudden you will start believing it. So when God's Word comes forth out of your mouth from a believing heart, it has the same power it had when God spoke it in Genesis chapter 1. What I'm teaching today will work for whoever believes. If you don't believe, it will not work for you. What is God doing today? He is restoring all things. He is bringing us back to where we are supposed to be. I'm just gonna finish this up. I'm just gonna skip the rest of this. But God's word on your lips will enable you to walk in the same ability that God walks in. Do not talk about what you have or what you see, but confess over your situation what He says about it. And we do this because God and Jesus did it. As joint heirs with Christ, we are to follow their examples. We have the authority to do so because in Genesis 1:26, God gave mankind, I read it a minute ago, there was one word I told you to remember, dominion. Say dominion.
Dominion.
Dominion includes the right to issue edicts and directives to take action. So when He said, Adam, I give you dominion, He gave him the right to issue edicts and directives and take action over this world. God used words to turn His problems into victories, and we have to learn how to speak and do likewise. That's where we are. And that's the introduction to this series. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning, you're watching or listening to me by some electronic means, and you'd say, Pastor, oh my goodness, that was a lot. I understand that was a lot. I get that. I don't think that way. I get that too. But what I'm telling you is there is a life beyond the life that most people know. It is in the Word of God, and it is living according to the Word of God. You can have a life far beyond anything you ever imagined you could have. I lived that life. I know this. But if you don't have Jesus, none of this works for you. You are on your own, and you are just subject to the world and to the devil. And you just are, it's just a bad place to be. So if you're here this morning, you want to say, Pastor, I get it. To live like this, I got to have Jesus. Because if I don't have Jesus, I can't have the Spirit. If I don't have the Spirit, I can't communicate like this. The only way to be able to work like this is for my spirit to be connected to God. The only way to do that is to make Jesus Christ my Lord. I finally get that. I want to do that today. I want to get there. I want to start walking this path. If that's you, or ask the Holy Spirit to just, every time I say something that just doesn't line up with the Word of God, to just check me on the inside so that I can ask forgiveness for that and I can fix it with my mouth. If that's you this morning, you'd say, Pastor, I am dedicating myself to learning and being here and getting more proficient at my speech, just raise your hand. All right, I'm taking notes here. No, I'm not. Father, you see these people and you see their hearts. I thank you, Lord God, that you just remind them through the Holy Spirit as they go through this week, that every time they say something, not to feel condemned over it, but to say, I need to say that a different way. And learn to train themselves and fix their speech to line up with what you say. I thank you for their hearts, and I thank you for these people in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
In Acts 14:23, in the Message Bible, it says this: when the apostles in Jerusalem received the report that Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John down to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Up to this point, they had only been baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. The Holy Spirit hadn't yet fallen upon them. It's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, all that stuff, and that's a different message for a different time. But what's happened here is the apostles sent Peter and John down to Samaria. And they're laying hands on these people, and these people, they're already born again, but they're receiving the Spirit of God with signs. And it says, then the apostles laid their hands on them, and they did receive the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw, he what?
Saw.
That the apostles, by merely laying hands, conferred the Spirit, he pulled out his money excited and said, sell me your secret. Show me how you did that. How much do you want? Name your price. Peter said, to hell with you, with your money, and along with you, and you along with it. That's unthinkable, trying to buy God's gifts. Because the gifts of God are free. You'll never be part of what God is doing by striking bargains and offering bribes. Change your ways, and now. Ask the Master to forgive you for trying to use God to make money. I can see this as an old habit with you. You reek with money lust. That's a strong word right there. And see, we don't have to have money lust. God put in place a system. How many of you were here last week? Okay, so what were we doing last week? We had a young lady, and what were we doing? We were teaching her to what? To pray for others. But what did I do? I laid my hands on her and I imparted the Spirit to her, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the rest was obvious by what happened. Now, that costs nothing except a willing heart and the Word of God going forth. Okay? So, you don't have to try to buy God. That doesn't work. Because God put such a great financial system in place. It's called tithes and offerings. It is awesome. It is my... It's... I love tithes and offerings. Y'all know that. I'm not going to spend time on that. It's just... It is His financial system. I mean, I'm a financial guy. That's what I do for a living. It's the best thing going. But like anything, money can be a blessing or a curse. In these verses, it was a curse for sure, because it wasn't used correctly. We don't give to buy God gifts. We give so that He can take our gifts and use them to advance His kingdom. But through advancing His kingdom, then He turns around and knows He can trust us, and He takes care of us and blesses us and provides us with more so that we can give more. So when we do that, then we become eligible for the benefits, say benefits, that He's put in place concerning sowing and reaping. That is His whole system. I mean, He used it. He sowed one son to get what?
Many.
Many. That's his system, sowing and reaping. I love it, and I thank him for it because even I can understand it. It's so beautiful. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that as we give, as we take what we've decided to give this morning, as we come before you in this time, this isn't just something we do. This is a time of worship, Father. We worship you with our gifts. We worship you with the things that you have given us. We give them back to you. We sow them back into the kingdom. And we thank you, Lord God, for blessing it, making it a blessing to others, and for our harvest back to us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you. If you need prayer after service, there'll be people up here that can pray with you. They know how to pray, and they will be able to pray with you. We'll continue this service, this sermon series next week. You can always check the bookstore. Of course, if you shop Amazon, you can help us out a little bit if you use smile.amazon. And it costs you the same, but we get a little piece of it. And I want to give another commercial for our adult Sunday school class. Pastor Cleopatra's done a great job with that. We're only like into page 19, and this was the third or fourth week. We're not very far, and it starts on page 9, so we're only like 10 pages into this book. We'll probably be on this book for a very long time, and I don't care, because this is it's a book that we found out is being discontinued. Hopefully, they're just going to repackage it and put it back out. But if not, it's the Bible in Light of Our Redemption by E.W. Kenyon. It's a basic Bible course. It starts out in Genesis 1 and goes all the way through Revelation. And so we'll get through the entire Bible piece by piece in the Light of Redemption as we work our way through this. If you're not here, you ought to be here. You know, Sunday school starts at 9:10. We have these books available in the back. They're $14. If you don't have $14, just pay what you can. If you can pay $5, pay $5. If you can pay nothing, just take the book. Because I don't care. I'd rather you have the book than us have the money. But if you take the book, come to Sunday school, because that's what it's for. And then for those of you that, for your library, because this has been discontinued too, we bought some of the advanced copies. So you have the basic one, which is not basic at all. And then you have the advanced one. Don't read this one first, because you won't get it. You need to have a foundation. So they're both available in the back. If you're interested in getting those, please avail yourself of them. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for our time together. I thank you for the opportunity to minister the word. Thank you for trusting us with your name. I thank you for trusting us with your spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that you have more confidence in us than many times we have in ourselves. I thank you that you call us righteous. You call us blessed. You call us the redeemed. I thank you that no weapon formed against us prospers, that we are a blessed people in Jesus' name. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you into this next week to go for and prepare our way. I thank you for taking care of us, watching over us, and protecting us and our families, our children, our businesses. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great, wonderful week in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.